This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Place to Be Nation Pop, welcome back to the only all DC Comics podcast right here on the Pop feed, and that is DC for you. I am one of your hosts, Russell Sellers, and joining me as always is the other co-host of this show, the manager, the owner, Todd Weber. How's it going, Todd?
You know, Russell, it's going pretty well here. Excited to talk about current events and not just one specific topic, but what's going on right now, the month of June 2019 in DC Comics.
Yeah, this is our first DC Current Events Monthly. We like to do this once a month where we talk about what's up with DC right now. Because, you know, we spend most of the month just going over a bunch of classic stuff or revisiting some old favorites. So we wanted to take one episode and just talk about what's happening right now. And there's usually something that people are talking about when it comes to DC. There can be a lot of shall we say, interesting news items out there. And sometimes there can be some really good and fun, exciting news items out there. And I think we've got both on the topic docket today. Starting with, of course, I think probably the biggest news item of the month of June for DC Comics is that they have decided to retire the Vertigo Comics imprint, which has been around since, I believe, 1993.
I just looked it up.
Okay.
Some of the books predate Vertigo, like Sandman was folded into Vertigo, yes. Swamp Thing, Constantine. Those were moved over when Vertigo was created. But yeah, the actual imprint started in 93.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while, and while I certainly have my favorites from the Vertigo line, such as Why the Last Man, 100 Bullets, more recently Sheriff of Babylon by Tom King and Mitch Gerrits. I think everybody's checked that out. Also, Sean Murphy's Punk Rock Jesus is an underrated masterpiece, I think. But Todd, you have a much deeper connection to Vertigo than I do. I think you've been with it much longer.
Yeah, from the start and actually beforehand, I was reading Hellblazer and Sandman when they were folded into Vertigo. Certainly books like Books of Magic was another thing I was reading at the time. And, you know, I found many of my all-time favorite comics through Vertigo Comics. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to, say, the library or the legacy of books. Are they still, you know, kept in print but published under another name, another imprint, or just saying DC 21 and over? What are they going to do? Or Black Label?
Yeah, the word on the street is that, and the word coming down from DC co-publisher Jim Lee, is that no current Vertigo titles are going to be canceled. In fact, they have big plans, according to him, for year two, especially of the current Sandman Universe line of titles that are going. But they will be folded into DC's Black Label. So the titles will continue even if the Vertigo name doesn't. The word has come down that what they're planning to do is to launch three individual DC labels, it being DC Kids, DC, and DC Black Label. Now, DC Kids, I guess we should mention, is going to be comprised of those books that were published over the course of the last year under the DC Zoom and DC Ink imprints that were aimed at kids and the YA audience. Those are just going to be folded under the same banner. Now, this Honestly, this is not necessarily a bad idea, because what the intent here is to create a very clear rating system for these comics. Where DC Kids, that sounds pretty obvious. It's meant for like the 8 to 12 range, with DC being 13 and up, basically a PG-13 label, and DC Black Label specifically for adult fare. Now, sure, that's... I mean, that's the, I guess, the positive side of it, and also that no current Vertigo titles are being canceled in any way. They're just being folded into Black Label.
Right.
And but that's probably little comfort to big Vertigo fans.
It's tough to say, though, because I feel like the imprint has been on the decline creatively for a long time. We've had books like, say, American Carnage, which started strong, and then I think it's just going to be wrapped up as a mini. You know, the author is folding that or stopping that in the next month or so. Certainly, the return of Lucifer as part of the Sandman universe of books has been okay. I mean, kind of has the synergy of that show being back on Netflix for one more year.
Yeah.
And trying to think anything else from Vertigo that I'm have any interest in whatsoever, but it's kind of gotten fewer and farther between as far as Vertigo books I needed. And the cancellation of the what was the book, American Jesus? No, what were they calling it? The Second Coming.
Yeah, that's headed over to Ahoy Comics.
Right, Vertigo even passed on doing that. DC said no, thank you. Mark Russell writing that, and we'll talk about Mark Russell later in this podcast.
Yes, because there's some good news for him.
Yes.
I agree with you on that. The whole thing that I think people really need, especially people who are lamenting DC's decision here, I think we got to be a little honest about Vertigo. Vertigo's creative heyday is behind us, and it has been for a while. That's not to say there aren't good books to be found in Vertigo. I think American Carnage is actually one of the better books that's been published in the last like maybe decade. It's a great title.
It is very good.
Great title. I would actually also suggest people go check out The Dreaming in the current Sandman universe line. That is legit a really good book. It's also gorgeous. So there are certainly good books to be had, and I think there are going to be still good books published under Black Label. I'm excited about American Vampire coming back.
Yes, and that's kind of – well, Vertigo is not necessarily going away. We're just kind of changing – I mean, it's just keeping those books and calling them something else or showing them – but they'll be alongside books like Batman Damned and Superman Year One was another Black Label book for explicit content. So, you know, I like you said, I can see both sides of it too. I think it's just symbolically what this represents, and streamlining corporate compartmentalization, consolidation, there's the word. You know, and I get it, but it's just kind of sad because Vertigo in the 90s was everything to me.
Yeah, and I mean, that 90s Vertigo really was like the top notch. It's really where like all the most creative stuff was going. And it was a ballsy move on DC's part to create such an imprint since they were at that time and still are part of a much larger corporate entity. And yet, at this time, they're creating a creator-owned line that was basically Image before Image became what it is now.
Right, and overseen by the amazing Karen Berger, kind of the group editor for Vertigo, and you know, she's over at Dark Horse now and doing her own thing, but I don't think we'll see kind of like that level of top-notch creators again in one kind of focused click like we had with Vertigo. We had Gaiman, Garth Ennis, Grant Morrison, those guys all doing very – oh, Warren Ellis, of course, doing fantastic stuff for the imprint.
Yeah, that's really what I think it's about, is that there are really great top-notch creators who are on the Vertigo titles right now, but they do not have the name recognition that those creators who came before them. So everybody's probably like, yeah, maybe these titles are interesting, maybe they're good, but I'm not really going to go out of my way to get them. And I would say that I think if we look at the sales numbers for Vertigo titles over the last, about a year now that since they've been relaunched, I would say anemic is an apt description.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it makes sense to me that with the new AT&T merger or buyout of Time Warner, they're probably looking over at the DC brands and saying, okay, what sells, what doesn't. And why does this Vertigo thing exist? Honestly, I think they should probably ask that same question of Young Animal, as we probably do every day, but you know, that's neither here nor there. And oddly enough, that imprint is continuing.
Right. Right. Will it be part of one of the big three divisions? No.
No, it is a – they consider it a pop-up imprint, whatever the hell that means.
Short term, okay. Like Gerard Way wants to put something out, he can have it.
Well, yeah, which is to say that and Gerard Way is nothing if not inconsistent. So let's not even get on to the long-ass delays of Doom Patrol. But even though that book, again, I hear is really great. I've never read it, but I hear good things. And – with this whole Vertigo thing, yes, it sucks that the name is going away, but thankfully it does sound like DC fully intends to keep reprinting those old Vertigo titles. They will just now label them Black Label.
Right.
And hey, that means that all those books are still going to be around. So if you're looking for new copies of them, they still exist. They'll be out there. We'll still be getting some new stuff, and maybe Black Label can now actually be the mature reader's line that it was meant to be without so much like hand-wringing over a shrouded penis.
Yeah, and my concern about Vertigo is, will I still be able to get all the back catalog stuff digitally? I'm transitioning over, and I would like to eventually get the whole run of 100 Bullets on digital, or I have some of it in physical, well, a lot of it in physical, but I would love to have Transmetropolitan all on digital, for instance. So I hope that those things are kept at least available on Comixology, whether they're called Vertigo, whether they're called DC Black Label. I don't care, as long as I can still buy them over the next few years.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. So long as the content is good, so long as what's being produced is stuff people want to read. And I'm hoping that with the advent here of DC Black Label and it moving to being officially the mature readers line instead of being something that just prints like out of continuity stuff. Like at one time, All-Star Superman was going to be reprinted as Black Label, which I think is a mistake. I think just reprint it under DC Comics and you're fine. Like that's not a mature reader's title. That is an all ages book. I think Black Label needs to be very strictly the mature reader's line. Yes, you can put like Batman and Superman and Flash and whatever stuff in there, but this is where you can be edgy. This is where we could get another like Longbow Hunters type story, do it there. But don't put so many restrictions on your creatives. Let them create. Let them be what they're going to be. And don't get so upset if somebody makes a joke on late night television. that's my big concern. But I think we've been fair to this situation. I think we've called it, like it is. It makes sense as a corporate synergy thing. But it does, it sucks to lose such a, a nostalgia triggering brand as Vertigo is. But I think that some people who are writing like these long ass think pieces really need to take a step back and, let's calm down. Let's pump the brakes a little. It's not that bad. I'm not saying it's a great thing or like we should be all like, rah, rah, yay, DC's doing away with Vertigo. Not at all. Just maybe if they were actually doing away with Vertigo, as in all those books that you love, suddenly they're disowning them or something, then be upset. Yes. But moving on, we got other things we got to talk about before we get out of here.
Yeah. Some happier news, happier stuff.
Yeah. Hooray. Very happy news. I want to talk about a subject that's going to have Todd hooraying the hell out of this podcast. And that is the return of the Legion of Superheroes under the watchful pen of one Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, this one kind of came out of nowhere for me, although if you go back over Bendis's Twitter timeline over the past few months, there's been hints here and there. There's also been hints in the pages of Doomsday Clock,
yes,
written by Geoff Johns, you know, flying Legion rings and Saturn Girl trapped in time. But to get a full-fledged return of the team that's been gone since, well, halfway through the New 52 era, is a good thing. And Brian Michael Bendis, the highest profile creator DC's got right now, leading the way. I'm looking forward to it. Got some Ryan Sook designs for the characters out. We're going to see them later this summer and coming out of the pages of Superman and then right into their own book. I'm all for it. I think this is part of something called the Millennium.
Yes.
Still learning all the stuff involved, but hell, if it's involving the Legion, I'm going to buy it. Probably going to buy paper copies and digital copies. I'm that wanting to express my support for the project.
Yep. And for those who are interested in the Legion's first official return in the Rebirth era, that's going to be in the pages of Superman number 15 on sale September 11th. So definitely be on the lookout for that one. You know, I have no history with the Legion. I can't honestly say that I'm like really excited about anything to do with the Legion of Superheroes because I've never really like latched on to the concept. But with Brian Michael Bendis leading this and given the work that he's done so far in the Superman line and especially over in his Wonder Comics imprint, it's hard not to be excited. It's hard not to be or at least curious what he's going to do. And, you know, some like major Bendis fans probably still won't be all that interested in it, but, you know, maybe old Nick Duke will crack the spine on a Legion of Superheroes book. I think if anything could get him to do it, it would be Brian Bendis writing their adventures. And
one would think, but, you know. Yeah,
maybe.
Talking about the Legion and Bendis, people have been asking me, well, what should I, if I want to get into Legion, let me, what should I read? There are lots of things. Sam and I have been talking, and there are a lot of stories that you can go back and point to. But honestly, if you've never read them, just kind of enjoy the ride coming up. Let Bendis show you what's going on. And Legion has a rich history with Superboy. It appeared in the comics pages of a Superboy story, and I don't think that association is going to stop now.
No, I'm actually...
I said Superboy, not Superman. Yeah,
not Superman, but Superboy. Do you think that maybe that's why John Kent was aged up by Brian Bendis? So that they could put him with the Legion.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and hopefully that'll give John Kent fans a weekly or a monthly window to check him out in now that Super Sons 12 issue maxi series has come to an end.
Yeah, I gotta say that if John Kent is the like front and center, if they do Superboy in the Legion of Superheroes in the 32nd, not 31st century as it used to be, I'm gonna have a hard time not picking that book up because Brian Bendis writing John Kent, I am here for it. But speaking of Wonder Comics, before we move on to like the other really big story, is there's a little story that happened that I think is worth mentioning. There were two 6-issue miniseries, one for Dial H that was written by Sam Humphries, and I forget who's on art for that one. But there was also Wonder Twins by Mark Russell, and do you remember who the artist is on that book? I do not.
I'm a writer's guy, not necessarily an artist guy. But I can look it up while we're talking about it.
Yeah, pretty same. But the good news here, though, is that something incredibly rare has happened for both of those books. As I believe was mentioned on Hard Travel and Fanboys, both of those titles have gone from 6 issues to now 12 issues. That is something that almost never happens. But sales and response to both books has been so strong that DC decided to extend their tenure. And I got to tell you, that's real promising for that Wonder Comics line, which has actually been real good since Bendis launched it.
Yeah, I'm a tremendous fan. I'm picking up all the books save Dial H, but I probably will eventually get around to it, maybe when it pops up on DC Universe. But I'm reading Naomi, I'm reading Young Justice, and reading Wonder Twins. And the artist of Wonder Twins is a man named Stephen Byrne.
Ah, yes, that's right. He's good. He's real good.
And then Joe Quinones is drawing Dial H with Sam Humphries.
Yeah.
So great books, man. This is one of the best things coming out of comics today is Wonder Comics.
Yeah, that whole line that Brian Bendis has been shepherding, I highly recommend it. I have loved Naomi, that he's co-writing with David Walker, and that Jamal Campbell is just killing
it.
Beautifully drawn. My God, I am so excited about him doing Action Comics covers coming up. I so hope he gets to do some interiors. I want him on Superman real bad. His work on Naomi is just like eye popping. It is so good. One of DC's absolute best books right now. And it's interesting how they're doing that one in like 6-issue miniseries increments. So, interesting decision there, but good
trade,
stuff.
Trade paperback sized increments.
Yep, that is exactly right. It is definitely it's made for the trade, but at the same time, I've really loved reading it month to month. It has flowed, and it is every one of Bendis's strengths rolled into like one book. He is knocking it out of the park with this, and I got real Ultimate Spider-Man vibes from it. But that being said, some good news on the front of Wonder Comics. Brian Bendis should be commended for what he's done there. And all you listeners, go check you out some Wonder Comics. It's good stuff, especially Young Justice and Naomi. Those are outstanding books. But moving on to our, I guess, our last real big story for the month of June. Another very popular, very absent super team is making their big return in the pages of Justice League by Scott Snyder, and that is, of course, the Justice Society of America. They are finally coming back after being reintroduced in the pages of Doomsday Clock by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. Now Scott Snyder is going to take that baton and run with it and reintroduce not just the team, but their history with the DC Universe back into continuity. Todd, your reaction?
Yeah, I'm a big JSA guy, going back all the way to All-Star Squadron featuring the JSA in the early 80s. And this is good news. Scott Snyder, who knows how involved he will be over the course of the run, but letting him introduce the concept here in Justice League, which has been very strong for a whole year of twice monthly shipped issues.
Yes.
And following up through that, it felt like we were kind of waiting for them to get the okay from Doomsday Clock, Geoff Johns, saying, here they are. We're going to mention them and show them. And now the floodgates have opened. We can use these classic legacy characters, and not the rebooted versions that Tom Taylor did in New 52's Earth 2 book, but the classic pre/post-crisis versions we saw, that we know and love, the Jay Garrick Flash, the Alan Scott Green Lantern, the heroes of World War II.
Yep, these are the classic versions of the JSA. This is the World War II era characters, as Todd said. I am not a huge JSA guy. I certainly appreciate them whenever they're there. I view them very much as like those elder statesman type characters that kind of serve more as example of how to be rather than like necessarily adventures that I'm all that interested in reading. Although I got to give Geoff Johns a lot of credit. His run on JSA was killer.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the peak for me too.
Yeah. Love that. And I'm excited about them coming back because as you said, Justice League, it's been real good. They've hooked me. At first, this whole totality thing they were doing was real heady and kind of out there, very much like Dark Knight's Metal.
Right.
And as it was flowing along, I was like, man, this could get real confusing. You're going to have to read this all in a single sitting in order to keep up with everything that's happening. But it seems like Snyder's kind of settled in now. Like he's settled all that down. And with this most recent, the Sixth Dimension story that they just wrapped up, it all really gelled for me then. Like it really coalesced. And I was like, okay, now I'm fully in. Now I got you. I got exactly where you're going with this. And the most recent issue, I believe it was 26, that kind of gets us deeper into the whole like Year of the Villain lead up with Lex Luthor doing his whole offer thing. I'm so in. I love this because he's got Martian Manhunter doing his whole like detective thing, like very very noir detective shtick. I'm in. Like, give me that. But the JSA is going to reappear in Justice League 31 by Scott Snyder and artist Francis Manapul, who is one of my all-time favorites. That's going to be on sale on September 4th.
Yeah, looking forward to kind of clearing through the summer and seeing where the fall takes us with JSA's return in the hands of Snyder and Manapul. And just think how Francis Manapul is going to draw Jay Garrick Flash. That's going to be good stuff.
Oh, give me that book. You know what? Give me a JSA ongoing drawn by Francis Manapul. And yeah, I'm going to not be able to say no to that. I just hope that they give it to a really good writer. I don't think like Scott Snyder shouldn't take that on. He should just reintroduce them, but keep him on Justice League. I know exactly who should take that book on. James Tynion in the Fourth.
Ah, that's a very good choice. Yeah, I think especially if Snyder's going to be with Justice League for a while. Tynion's so good with team books, and we see it in Justice League Dark, and we saw it before in his detective run where he had the Bat Team. But that's a great suggestion, Russell.
That would be a killer creative team. And not that I would necessarily want to just straight up retire Justice League Dark, but yeah, I kind of would because I'd like to see those characters folded over into a Black Label book.
I mean, I don't know how the book sells. Both Justice League Dark and Justice League Odyssey, I'm very, very behind on.
I am mostly current on both of these books. Yeah, I am current on both of these books. Odyssey changed writers over to Dan Abnett, and he's doing a pretty good job over there, I would say, because he's a good cosmic guy, so he certainly gets how to write that. Justice League Dark is far and away the stronger of the two. It's a much more interesting character study, and as you said, Tynion is just so good with groups, with teams, and he's doing a real really good job here. But I look at both of these books as like finite titles, ones that probably shouldn't just keep going. We should find an ending point for them somewhere soon. Like, we should just go ahead and get them to the big crossover with Justice League, cancel both of those titles, and then launch us an ongoing JSA book with a killer creative team. That's what we really need.
Yeah, I can get behind that. For me, it feels like they've been really pushing and trying to keep alive this Justice League Dark franchise for the hope of a live-action movie that may not come now with the Swamp Thing on DC Universe being canceled, that TV show that was rumored to be leading into a Justice League Dark TV concept. So.
I can't tell you just how like heartbreaking that is, not just for the fans, but for all the people that were involved working on that show, because it seemed like everyone was very passionate about it. And it sucks that things happened the way they did, that certain people seem to be rooting for that show to fail right from the jump. And hopefully with the fan and critic response to the show being so positive, they'll think better of it sometime down the road and maybe give it another shot. That would be the best case scenario. But I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit more about the Swamp Thing TV show in later episodes.
I have a feeling we will be talking about it.
But anyway, before we get out of here, we've mentioned a few titles that we've been reading with the big guns, with Justice League and a few others. So Todd, before we get out of here, let's tell the folks what else are we reading. What's really like doing it for you from DC in the month of June?
So things that I have been reading, the previously mentioned Naomi is the top of my reading list. I am fully current on that. Wonder Twins, I am about 2 months behind on, but I'm still subscribe to it digitally and picking it up. Shazam has been top notch, but it's starting to hit the delays.
Yeah.
Doldrums. That's... And then another book that I want to spend a little bit more time talking about is DC Deceased by writer Tom Taylor. I don't recall the artist's name as usual, but the art has not been the reason I'm picking it up, although it's been fine. Taylor's writing and the kind of Elseworlds concept of it's not zombies, but introducing this virus into the populace of Earth shared by social media. You look at this image and it's connected to the anti-life equation, and you become kind of a host. And it's been a fantastic story. And of course, being a Elseworlds / alternate continuity type story, anything can happen. And believe me, after two issues, anything has happened. There's some pretty crazy stuff. But it's nice because it kind of takes off right after the formation of the Scott Snyder era Justice League and goes from there. So it's a point in time, but then going to this alternate timeline. It's fantastic. If you had told me that I'd be into a DC zombie book a little while ago, it was ha ha ha. But this is really good. And Tom Taylor, I think, is a writer you're going to see do even more high profile projects down the line. There's only two issues out so far, so it's easy to jump onto. They're fairly quick reads, 10-15 minutes each. I would highly, highly recommend. This has been some of the most entertaining comics I've read in a long time.
You know, I picked up the first issue of that, thought it was real good. I am also a fan of Tom Taylor doing his own thing, like doing his own like alternate spins on the DC universe. I really liked his Injustice run, so yeah, I'll be looking forward to that one. Hopefully it's going to hit the DC universe app, because I wasn't able to expand my pull list anymore, but still good stuff from him, and I think that he's about due for some more mainstream DC work, something a much higher profile.
Yes.
But
how about you? What have you been reading, dude?
Oh, I would say that there are a couple books that have continued to keep my interest. Among them, Hawkman, I think, is one of the absolute best DC books out there right now. Everybody should be checking that out, because it's the first trade should be out now. Yeah, first couple trades should be coming down the pipe. That's by Robert Venditti and artist Brian Hitch. It is the book that made me realize that Hawkman can be a really great and fun character. I think of that book as Hawkman Rebirth, just like what Geoff Johns did for Green Lantern. I feel like Robert Venditti just did it for Hawkman.
And go ahead. The first issue is on DC Universe now. So if you want to just kind of dip your toes into it. I read the first six, and then I've been collecting them. I had to kind of hunt down a few. But I'm still getting it on my pull list, and beautiful book. I love how they're interweaving the tale of the previous incarnations of Qatar Hol into DC continuity, such as Krypton.
Yeah, they're introducing new concepts while fully embracing pretty much every version of Hawkman's past. I think it's brilliant. It's so well done. And the other main book, or the other big book that I would certainly suggest people go try out, especially right now, is The Flash from Josh Williamson and current artist Howard Porter. Howard Porter, of course, being a classic Flash artist. And Josh Williamson, I know, was not hitting it out of the park for some people at the beginning of his Rebirth run. But ever since The Flash War, this guy has just been killing it. He is knocking one great story arc out after another. And currently, we're getting a Flash Year One story where he's telling the origin of Barry Allen for the modern age, which is something that hasn't actually been done. So this is a really fun read. I'm loving the depth of story that he's adding to Barry Allen's past. I especially love seeing Barry go through all the various incarnations of the Flash suit while he's trying to figure it out and perfect it. That's just some good stuff. And the Howard Porter art is jaw-dropping good. So That would be a big recommendation. And just on a side note, it's an event book, so it might be a little harder to just jump in and access it. But Brian Bendis's event Leviathan kicked off in a big bad way, and I could not be more in on what he's doing here. It's not the typical DC superhero event. This is very much a noir style mystery involving all of DC's best detectives, and Bendis writes the hell out of that first issue. Some of the best dialogue he's done to date. Feels like a return to some of his old Daredevil days. So go get you some Event Leviathan. Go get the Action Comics run leading up to it. My God, do yourself a favor and read that book. It doesn't miss. So those are the ones I can't recommend enough.
Excellent. Okay. So I was going to – you stole my thunder, or you at least answered the question I was going to ask, which is well, if I want to just jump into Leviathan, can I do it? Do I pick up the preview special that was $10 a couple weeks ago, or do I just get Event Leviathan? So I would think, looking at the preview special, I would do that, even though it has some side stories that aren't necessarily connected to the event. It's got the Greg Rucka, Lois Lane story, the Matt Fraction. It is into the Leviathan, yes, too.
Actually, well, all of the ones in the special are.
So they're using these titles to kind of flesh out that event, it sounds like.
Yeah, the Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane books that are coming up, they're going to be used to kind of flesh out some angles from Event Leviathan, but maybe not necessarily tied directly into it. So it's more or less you can read these books if you really want to, but you don't have to in order to just go on with Event Leviathan because they're not direct tie-ins.
Okay.
But that Greg Rucka, Lois Lane, yeah, that chapter in the Leviathan Rising special, that was excellent. I also I thought the Jimmy Olsen one was decent. It wasn't like great, but it wasn't terrible either. It was silly, and the Superman stuff was the star of the show. So go get on that if you haven't already.
Cool. Well, I think we've kind of covered what we wanted to talk about here in June. Yeah. June 2019. So any other stuff to plug, Russell?
Well, we've got a pretty busy week over the past week on the old pop feed there. You know, you and I just took part in the first of three parts covering 1971 for the old Marvel Age podcast. People should definitely go listen to that. Then there's the eighth episode of Laugh In Theater where Andy had
behave.
Yes, he had one half the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg Phillips, on to watch what I think is one of the funniest movies of all time, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. excuse me, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, speaking of them, they got another theme month going on, just like I think we're going to here pretty soon. As X-Men Month, or X-Month, continues, they just did a review of the infamous X-Men The Last Stand. So is it better than Dark Phoenix? Is it really as bad as you remember? Well, maybe. You'll just have to listen and find out. Excuse me again. And, of course, Jennifer Smith, she's back with a new episode of Freak Out Drive-In, welcoming Scott Criscolo back to the show. They watched that 2016 hit clown horror movie. No, not it. Terrifier. Don't be worried. I haven't heard of that one either, but I'm sure it's
hit, how can it be a hit movie if neither of us have ever heard of it?
Well, there were quotation marks there, but you can't see those.
All right.
Then there's a new episode of the NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, back to reflect on what has been, the last week in NBA land, but I'm pretty sure the NBA is done for the season now.
Yeah, but we're talking free agency and the draft stuff like that. So yeah, they are kind of doing the time between seasons here.
I gotcha. And then there's a brand new PTBM Pop special with Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, D'Amato, and you. Yes. You guys got together to discuss the old PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s tournament, which has officially started.
It has. You have to get in and go to Facebook, like PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, and then you will have those pop up in your feed. Six matchups per day. We've already had a few move on to the second round. Welcome to the Jungle among them. So get in, get your voice heard, click on your favorites, and be a part of this tournament. This is a long tournament, so we're going to really fight it out and find what the best song of the 80s is. It's been a lot of fun, and that podcast we talked about, the different brackets, was a lot of fun too. Had some 80s music historians and myself were on there, so it's pretty good. Over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, the newest episode of Main Event featured Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, Steve Lilly recapping NJPW's Dominion. Looking ahead to the G1 Climax, which kicks off very soon in Dallas. And then they're talking about the All Elite Wrestling's TV deal with Turner, TNT. On Place to Be Nation, or I'm sorry, Place to Be Podcast, Justin Scott and Steve Bennett are back inside the home office for a dive into the 9/30/89. That's September 1989. I was in college, Madison Square Garden house show.
Todd is our old.
Yeah. After 6 months, we had a episode of the Adams Division Hockey Podcast on the wrestling feed. How about that? Also, in the 9th episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben welcomed action wrestling champion AC Mack to the podcast. AC Mack gearing up for the SCI Invitational. I guess that was redundant, huh? SC yeah. Invitational. That will be covered in depth by our friend Steve Williams and David Bixenspan for Place to Be Nation. So lots going on. If you go to our website, placetobenation.com, we've got a tribute to 1994 going on, having lots of things pertaining to the year, the movies, the music, the sports of the year, even the miniseries called The Stand, based on the Stephen King novel that was brought to TV. Little controversially, yeah. You know, it was kind of toned down for television, not as graphic as the book. We also had the Excellent Network Adventure talking about ECW One Night Stand 2006. All right. So that's about it for Place to Be Nation and what's going on. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Weber Guitar. Russell, did you already plug your Twitter handle? I'm sorry.
I have not. I am at Russell_Sellers, which is where you can get me on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. And like Place to Be Nation Comics on Facebook, find PTBN Comics and follow us on Twitter. And we have enjoyed this look at the current events of DC Comics for anything else you got out to say to the
man? It's been a great first month of this show. I think we've had some real fun. We had a lot of good episodes, and we've got a lot more to come. In fact, starting next month, we're going to hit our first theme month of the show, of this show's existence, where we're going to be taking a look at the Man of Steel himself, Superman. The entire month of July dedicated to looking at some looking at a classic issue, a classic TV show, and of course naming off some of our favorite Superman stories of all time in both print and television and movies. Starting next week, actually, we will be back with a special hour-long episode, Superman for You, with our special guest, Stephen Ferrari of the Casual Geekery. He's going to be here to talk about all things Superman, as that is his favorite superhero. So with that, we hope you guys will join us again next week. Thanks for always listening to all the great shows here on Place to Be Nation Pop. And we will see you all next time.
DC for You.
DC for You.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.